Thank you for joining me today. This is the Life After 30 podcast, and I am your host, Joey Hernandez. I have been a personal trainer and diet coach for over 30 years. Please join me as we discuss our health, diet, weight loss, fitness, and many other topics as we move through the decades of our lives. And good day, folks. As always, thanks so much for joining me. It means a lot to me that you will tune in to hear my podcast. Now, you know, with the month of March starting next week, I wanted to continue our work on preparing and moving toward a plant-based diet. But let me make it clear at the outset here, we are not attempting a vegetarian diet or a vegan diet, but rather we're looking to remove some of our animal consumption and replace it with natural, healthy, fresh vegetables and fruits for the purpose of the increased nutrition, the potential for reduction of disease, and for the overall health benefits that such a diet provides. Lean animal proteins such as lean beef, pork, poultry, and especially fish will continue to be part of our regular diet. We're just looking to reduce consumption of some of the animal proteins that can be higher in saturated fats and other additives and chemicals, such as those used in the raising of farmed animals that ultimately end up in our food supply, whether we want them or not. We have no control over that. As spring progresses, we're going to talk more about the sources for the freshest vegetables and fruits, how to go about selecting them, and how to go about cooking and using them in your own meals. The word carbohydrate can be scary where weight loss dieting is concerned. Some people of even the correct body weight just try in general to avoid carbohydrates, and in some of my discussions with the people of this kind of thinking, sometimes they don't even know why they do that. They've just heard that they should try to cut out as many carbohydrates from their diet as possible. Now, sometimes you'll hear carbohydrates referenced as good carbohydrates and bad carbohydrates. While I don't personally necessarily like to use those words, there certainly are carbohydrates that are better for you to have in a regular diet, and there are those that lead to overconsumption, possible addiction, and therefore give a greater negative impact on your long-term health. So let's examine carbohydrates and learn how to adjust our philosophy and usage of this important food group. So, my name is Joey Hernandez, and this is You Don't Have to Give Up Carbohydrates, the 95th episode of the Life After 30 podcast. There seem to be two schools of thought regarding consumption of both simple and complex carbohydrates. Now, one group advocates keeping your carbohydrates to a bare minimum, completely avoiding simple carbohydrates, but also reduction of complex carbohydrates as much as possible. Another group, of which I personally belong, believes in low consumption of simple carbohydrates and a concentration on eating complex carbs in the first half of your day to utilize as fuel. But both groups ultimately certainly agree with the new data that has been collected in the last 15 years that show us the development of unwanted body fat that leads us down the road to being overweight, and then the possibility of eventual obesity, is in fact the result of overconsumption of carbohydrates. Now, while fat still remains something that needs to be closely monitored in our diet, making sure that the majority of our fat intake comes from heart-healthy fats, it is no longer thought that fat is the cause of excessive weight unto itself. Certainly, carbohydrates and fat, when joined together, exacerbate the production of body fat. But complete elimination of carbohydrates is really an impossibility. But also, it's not really something we would ever want to do, even if it was possible. Because along with what is considered to be, quote, bad carbohydrates, The staples of any healthy, nutritious diet would include fresh vegetables, of which I talk about all the time, and fruits, which I talk about all the time, which are our best sources of carbohydrates and fiber. Dr. Dan Engel, a practicing psychiatrist who is board certified in psychiatry and neurology, when appearing as a guest on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, stated, quote, "Neurological chemical addictions like sugar addiction is up there with heroin, sometimes even harder to quit than heroin." He says food addictions are tricky, and as I have stated in earlier podcasts, you can't give up food completely like you do with a drug or alcohol addiction. So this kind of addiction becomes extremely hard to conquer. After all, you have to eat. Now, generally, most meat and poultry do not contain carbohydrates. Some seafood and shellfish do contain some, but almost everything else that one consumes does indeed have some carbohydrates. But in the big picture, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It depends on type and amount. So let's break down carbohydrates a little bit. The Cleveland Clinic states, "Carbohydrates are the body's main source of energy. They're found in almost all of the foods we eat, but choosing the right ones can make or break a heart-healthy diet. Both good carbs and bad carbs turn into sugar, but the nutritional value and how fast they digest in the body is what makes them different." This from registered dietitian Kate Patton of Cleveland Clinic's Preventative Cardiology and Rehabilitation Center. She continues, "Your body breaks down all carbohydrates into sugar. The outcome is glucose, and this is what gives your body energy. Food with complex, good carbohydrates, such as quinoa and oatmeal, contain a lot of fiber, so your body breaks them down slowly. This keeps you feeling full and stabilizes your blood sugar levels." So in some cases, carbohydrates really are our friend. They are the source of energy, and dieters who are eating these very low carbohydrate or attempting even a no carbohydrate diet often short themselves of this potential energy. In most of the diets that I have created for clients over the years, since carbohydrates are the primary source of fuel for our body, I will write personal diets to have complex carbohydrates earlier in the day and working down to the least or even no amounts to be consumed after 6 p.m. This gives the person enough energy to get through the day, feeling good, and since many of my clients are not only dieting but also working with resistance training for increased muscle size, they then have sufficient fuel in their body to be able to push themselves to obtain the muscle growth that they desire. But I am of the school of thought that timing your carbohydrate consumption is an important part of a weight loss diet. Eat them early and cycle down to none. We all know simple carbohydrates often are not our friends. Foods with simple or sometimes called bad carbohydrates include processed table sugar, brown sugar, and many processed foods, as they are often loaded with sugar in order to have sufficient taste for you. The Cleveland Clinic further says, "Your body digests the simple carbohydrates very quickly. This causes increased inflammation in the body and raises your blood sugar levels. In addition to inflammation, too much sugar in your bloodstream can damage your artery walls, which leads to even more added inflammation. Your arteries carry oxygen-rich blood to your heart. Inflammation is a risk for coronary artery narrowing, which makes it difficult for blood to then make it to your heart." Americans consume a tremendous amount of sugar. The average American consumes about 22 teaspoons of added sugar per day. Research has shown that people who consume up to 20% of their daily calories from simple sugars increase the risk of dying of a heart attack by a whopping 38%. A can of regular soda, and we all sometimes will give in and drink one of these cans of regular soda, and often our children are drinking them on a regular basis. Each can packs about 35 grams of added sugar. That is equal to nearly 9 teaspoons of sugar. The National Institute of Health states that dropping one, just one, sugary soda a day could cut diabetes risk. Sugary sodas and flavored milk, regardless of a person's weight, may have a heightened risk of type 2 diabetes, a large new study finds. The good news, the researchers said, is that swapping just one of those drinks each day, just one, for water or unsweetened coffee or tea, could lower diabetes risk by up to 25%. And that is so important. We all know there's a growing concern controlling your weight. The Mayo Clinic says carbs do in fact fit into a healthy diet. But still, not all carbs are created equal. Here's how to make healthy carbohydrates work for you in a balanced diet. They list 5 ways that you can have healthy carbohydrates work best for you and your nutritional needs. In addition, it will fill you up and give you a better feeling if you are in a caloric restricted diet. So let's go through them. Number 1, emphasize fiber-rich fruits and vegetables. These are better options actually than fruit juices and dried fruits, which are concentrated sources of natural sugar, and therefore they're going to have more calories in them. Number 2, choose whole grains. Refined grains go through a process that strips out part of the grain along with the nutrients and the fiber. Number 3, stick to low-fat dairy products. Milk, cheese, yogurt, and other dairy products are good sources of calcium and protein, plus many other vitamins and nutrients. Choose the low-fat versions to help limit your calories and keep down your saturated fat. Number 4, eat more beans and legumes. And my being engaged to a Mexican means I eat more beans and legumes. And I never did before this relationship. Beans, peas, and lentils are typically low in fat. They contain no cholesterol and are high in vitamins and minerals. And finally, number 5 on their list, not surprising really in the least, limit added sugars. Added sugar is probably not harmful in small amounts, states the Mayo Clinic, but choose your carbohydrates wisely. On Forbes.com, author Alice G. Watson quotes and actually argues against statements made in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, who have stated, now this is interesting, that exercise in and of itself doesn't really lead to weight loss. It may lead to a number of excellent health effects, but weight loss, if you are not also restricting your calories at the same time, isn't one of them. Regular physical activity reduces the risk of developing cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, dementia, and some cancers by at least 30%, they write. However, physical activity does not promote weight loss. Plus, in the last 30 years, exercise has stayed about the same, while overweight and obesity have skyrocketed. So something else must be at play, like the type of food we're eating. That part has gotten steadily worse over the years, and highly processed sugary foods and sodas have taken over as our go-to choices. They continue. And the crux of the issue is this. We are constantly, quote, fed, unquote, the idea that all that's behind the rise in obesity is lack of exercise or a sedentary lifestyle. What we know to be true is much simpler. Sugar calories promote fat storage and hunger, they write. Fat calories induce fullness or satiation, and for every additional 150 calories of sugar, and that's going to be as in a can of soda, that a person consumes per day, the risk of diabetes rises 11-fold, regardless of how much or how little we exercise. The single most effective thing people can do for their weight, they write, is to restrict calories, and even more, restrict carbohydrates. Now, let me pose my opinion on that particular article. I completely disagree with the statement that exercise does not help promote weight loss, even if calories were not restricted. If one were to eat exactly the same way they do currently, and yet work daily on a cardiovascular program of at least 30 minutes, personally, I do think the person would see a slight change of improvement in the level of their body fat. However, I have always told my clients to use cardiovascular work as a primary focus for increased cardiovascular health. And then as a secondary effect, they can expect some body fat reduction. I have given examples to my client of people I know at gyms that they do not change their diet enough, and then they go and they kill themselves doing 60 minutes plus of cardiovascular work several days per week, thinking that that alone is going to take off all of their excessive body fat. I have said to many clients that it is much easier to reduce your caloric intake by just 500 calories per day, 7 days per week, which equals 3,500 calories or 1 pound of weight loss, and then use your cardiovascular training as a way to improve your heart health and have cardio as an adjunct to a weight loss diet. In that article, they say exercise has not changed in the last 30 years. Well, I have been in the fitness industry and the diet industry for just over 30 years, and I certainly disagree and take umbrage with that statement, because exercise is constantly changing. New fad ways of training, of course, will always emerge, but also more scientific and university studies provide data that constantly lead to tweaking athletic training. Now, I do agree with their point that sugar and carbohydrates in general, when consumed excessively in a poor diet, will always derail a person from achieving a healthy and fit body. In an article at usnews.com titled Food and Mood, the author, Angela Hulp, writes, "You are what you eat? Maybe not, but you do feel what you eat. Research suggests that certain foods affect mood, for better or worse. Dietary changes can trigger chemical and physiological changes within the brain that alter our behavior and our emotions." She lists among the examples of how diet can be affecting your mood is that if you skimp on carbs, she writes, carbohydrates have long been demonized, but your body needs carbs to produce serotonin, a feel-good brain chemical that elevates mood, suppresses appetite, and has a nice calming effect. Research suggests that low-carb dieters are more likely to feel tired, angry, depressed, and tense when compared to those who get the recommended amount. Only complex carbs, however, and this is important that they state, only complex carbs high in fiber, intact with whole grains, have a positive effect on mood. Whereas simple carbs, obviously think like candy, cake, cookies, and other sugary stuff, actually will bring you down. Per the USDA, 45 to 65% of the calories of your diet should come from carbohydrates. This is stated in a booklet called Dietary Guidelines for Americans. The USDA does not currently give parameters for sugar consumption. However, if we look over to the American Heart Association for their guidelines, they indicate that no more than 150 calories of added sugar should be consumed by men each day, and a maximum of 100 calories of added sugar by women each day. Now, for many of us, for many, many, many of us, that's going to be really difficult. Because if you're one of these people that start out your day with 1 teaspoon or maybe 2 teaspoons of sugar right into your coffee, and then you have multiple coffees in a day, that's going to add up. And that's going to be really difficult sometimes to break that kind of sugar habit. But please note on the American Heart Association guidelines that they were referring to added sugar. Now let's look at that as sugar that we can actually control, as in sugar that you yourself add additionally to food that you're eating or that you're baking. Those calorie limits might also actually refer to what is contained in processed foods if you really wanted to be on a healthy reduction. So paying attention to grams of sugar per serving as listed on the food labels of processed foods and using sound judgment and self-monitoring, you can limit it to be under 5 grams of sugar per serving, and that's going to begin to increase your health benefits. So, what can we take away from today's information? I think it further justifies the mindset that moderation can be better than complete elimination. In today's food, it is difficult to completely avoid sugar and simple carbohydrates. It's just almost an impossibility. But being more self-aware, reading food labels, and fighting those inner demons that crave sugar compulsions that can lead to addictions, those are all certainly ways for us to reduce our consumption of high sugar foods. And let's face the truth, folks. You know, truly in your heart, many of the foods you need to avoid as much as possible, or what I always suggest, at least just use as a limited reward. But because the large food production companies always strive to confuse customers, they love to do that, and get them to buy their products, we would all do well to pay much more attention to the food label and ingredient list on even foods that we can't possibly imagine that sugar exists in. As you look more and more at the ingredients list, trust me, you will be amazed at the products that do contain sugar or one of the chemical disguises of sugar. Carbohydrate addiction is a true reality, and it affects not only the long-term health of our body or of any short-term weight loss attempts, but excessive carbohydrate consumption can affect the health of our skin, our energy, our mood, and our sleep patterns. We can't live without carbohydrates, therefore we must strive somehow, to find a common partnership between the foods that we do eat and the physical activity that we do and need to do. While there are many commonalities in the effects of what a poor diet can cause, each individual is going to really respond slightly differently and must strive to find your own balance of what works for you, but also how it sits in each of the phases of your life, because your consumption is going to have to be adjusted as your metabolic rate goes down naturally as you age. You have heard in prior podcasts from me my feelings regarding the consumption of water. Now, I'm still striving to drink 1 gallon of water every single day. I've already noticed some wonderful effects that being properly hydrated has afforded to me. Water will always trump soda. Big time. So if you are a soda drinker, why not try to give up just one of those and replace it with water? If necessary, folks, baby steps. Little baby steps moving forward in the right direction. And if you feel you are a sugaraholic, is that a word? It is now. If you are a sugaraholic, let's say that, striving to remove just one high sugar item from your daily diet is a really good way to start. If you haven't read food labels and ingredients, this is the time to start doing so. And if you are a person that does not consume vegetables and fruits, good luck listening to my podcasts, because I endlessly talk about vegetables and fruits. But if you don't eat them, begin by making sure you have at least one serving of a vegetable and one serving of a fruit. And again, this is just going to give you a really good start. So by removing one sugar item, adding in at least one serving of vegetables and fruits each, and starting to educate yourself on the ingredients of the food that you buy, you will be well, really well on your way to making slow, and very importantly, slow, consistent changes in your lifestyle. Start slow as you need if necessary, and always work towards improvement. So in the next couple of weeks, we are going to try to kick in some of that plant-based diet more. And understanding how carbohydrates fit into that is going to be very important. We're certainly going to talk much more about this. Meanwhile, thanks for joining me. Following immediately is going to be my disclaimer. If you've not had a pleasant experience to ever have listened to my disclaimer before, do yourself a good service and give it a listen. It's just a couple minutes long. Meanwhile, I hope you have a really good week, and I will check back in with you very soon. This is Joey Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining me today. Hey folks, Joey Hernandez, and this is a pre-recorded disclaimer that I'm going to insert into each episode of the podcast. So please give me just a moment of your listening time and listen to this disclaimer. I hope that the information that you receive from the podcast is unique and useful to you in your quest to live a healthier and more vibrant life. I have been a personal trainer for over 30 years. This podcast and the Human Construction Site blog that it is tied to are based on my opinions and my experience working with clients all these years. I am not a doctor. I ask that any and all information that you receive from me, as well as anywhere else on the internet or on TV or on websites, books, wherever the source, that you discuss that and review it with your personal physician before implementing any kind of lifestyle changes. Your doctor knows you best. He or she knows your personal medical history, knows your medications, your family's history, and together you with your physician should have a dialogue to ensure that any changes are right for you. So please, 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 please consult your doctor. Thank you.